Greetings. This is Justin Allen, the Elite Nurse Practitioner. Welcome to the Elite Nurse Practitioner Show, a podcast dedicated to nurse practitioner entrepreneurism and achieving financial freedom, where I talk directly with nurse practitioners who need help. Listen up. Our market is saturated. Jobs can be scarce. We are underpaid. We are undervalued. We are taken advantage of by the sharks within the healthcare system, and frankly, screw that, sick of it, and it's time for a change. And listen, I'm here to help make that happen. We are powerful. We can forge a path where we are in control of our career and ultimately our financial and personal well-being. You do not need to submit to healthcare administrators and your doctor overlords. You do not have to take the measly salary. You do not have to work 50 to 60 hours a week. There is a different way, and I'm here to show you that path. This podcast is raw and unfiltered. I have not talked to the nurse practitioners in this podcast prior to the call outside of an email exchange to schedule the episode. What you're about to listen to is a consultation session between a nurse practitioner and myself. It is real, it is unscripted, it is unplanned, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Anything and everything can happen during our conversation. The nurse practitioners in these episodes are struggling with an issue in their professional or financial life, and they have reached out to me for help. My goal is to help the nurse practitioner with actionable advice that will enhance and improve their professional, business, and financial life. My other goal is to hopefully help my nurse practitioner sisters and brothers build a more productive, powerful, and free life. So I hope the content and information within these podcast episodes does just that. All right, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be talking to Ella, who is a family nurse practitioner. Currently, she is working at a telemedicine urgent care practice full time. She's in the process of starting her own practice where she is still trying to determine what services she wants to offer. She's needing assistance with nailing down her service line, determining market saturation, telemedicine considerations, and general business startup advice. Hey, Ella, how are you?
I'm doing well, Justin. Thank you for having me on.
For sure. For sure. No, thanks for hopping on here. So tell me about yourself. How long have you been a nurse practitioner for? And you know, what kind of things you've been doing?
All right. I graduated in 2016, started to work in a primary care clinic. In 2017, worked in a local clinic for about 5 years, and then transitioned to working from home. So I've been doing that for almost 2 years for a large nationwide company, telehealth company. So doing urgent care online. And over the last, I would say, 8 to 9 months, I've been trying to brainstorm a little bit about starting my own clinic and just wanting my own hours. I'm tired of working every third weekend and evenings. So trying to, branch out into something. I've started my own LLC already and have been doing some side gigs. You know, I did some stem cell injections on the side, traveled to several states for that. Also did some locums positions locally in addition to my current job. So just trying to, wanting to branch out and not sure as far as when to start it. So my current contract runs out at the end of the year. So I'm trying to be prepared and, you know, do things in stages, do it the right way. So it's not haphazard, et cetera. Not sure if I should do part-time or jump into it full-time. And so essentially I'm in my current contract through the end of January. So I can quit earlier. It's not, you know, a big deal, but I would have to pay them some of the licensure fees and I don't really want to do that.
So. Yeah. Okay. So let's start there real quick. So, determining, should you work part-time? Should you, work full-time and get it started, et cetera, let's just start here. So it's probably one of the most important considerations because it's how you're going to fund your life, right? So from a financial standpoint, where do you stand in terms of debt, your savings, that kind of a thing? Like how financially, well off are you?
So financially, I have about 40 grand to start this thing if I wanted to. So I can, this is something I have more in my savings account where it's available to me. You know, we were going to buy a second property. So I have a couple of Airbnbs going. So that's supplemental income as well. And we're going to launch another Airbnb here in shortly. So I'm going to have a little bit more income to where, you know, passive income to where I don't have to worry about, you know, making my monthly payments. I'm not going to be rich off of these Airbnbs, but they will definitely supplement my income. And I also have some savings to launch this. And I don't necessarily, I mean, of course, I would like to have a little bit of extra, you know, maybe doing something part-time on the side, maybe doing some locums while I start the business. But
okay,
if I,
yeah. So you're in a pretty good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So would you need part-time income from a job? Do you feel like, or do you think that you could go full-time in your business if there's really not a whole lot of profit for 6 months?
I think so. I mean, I guess it depends on how expensive, you know, because I want to be most efficient. You know, I don't mind working hard for 6 months, you know, whether it's holding a couple of jobs, but if it helps grow the business exponentially, yes, I would love to do it full time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you're in a pretty good spot. So it really comes down to how well this business could possibly do. And so, mm-hmm. you know, should you work part-time or not? In my opinion, I say work part-time because chances are you probably won't be busy enough to work full-time in your business at first for the first mm-hmm. 6 to 12 months. It probably just won't be that busy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if you dedicate full-time hours to it, you're probably going to be sitting around not doing a whole lot some mm-hmm. days. Okay. So it'd mm-hmm. be a waste of your time. So, you know, so just kind of keep that in mind. So, you know, it really depends on what you want to do and what's available in your area. So
right.
what kind of services are you thinking about offering?
So I worked during my last 2 years, I also worked one day a week at this integrative health clinic. I don't want to do integrative health because I don't know enough about it, except, you know, one day a week for 6-7 months did not give me enough prep, but I did do some hormone replacement therapy for like bioidentical hormones for females. I'm comfortable with that. You know, I think I'm going to take a couple of classes, like your classes on that too. I would love to do men's health, HRT, maybe some weight loss. You know, I'm familiar with PRP. I've done some joint injections. I would love to do PRP specifically for hair loss because I can tie that in with men's health, I feel like. But again, you know, possibly hire a nurse injector down the road. I don't want to do injections myself. I've taken a class or two. I don't want to be tied. I want to be more of a hybrid. I want to do less hands-on, you know, and do as, you know, since I am licensed in 10 states, I would like to really branch out. And because I live in a fairly small town, I have the population of my town is 55,000, and I've done a little bit of market research. So we have about a couple of men's clinics where they do hormone, where they do testosterone. We have also, as far as the women's HRT, we have about 3 clinics. Again, I don't know how busy they are. And then south of us, we do have a couple of towns that, I mean, all of the towns around here, they come to my town for medical services, whatever, no matter what it is, like the hospital, urgent cares, et cetera. So again, I think, you know, and then north of me is a larger, you know, 300,000 plus town, about 25, 30 minutes away, which has more clinics, you know, more, you know, HRT, men's health, you know, weight loss, all of that. So, you know, I feel like my area is fairly, I mean, looking at it, I'm like, yes, I could potentially do business, but it has to be hybrid. I have to market myself online and get some of those telehealth patients to be successful.
Right, right, right. Okay. So within an hour drive, you know, an hour radius of you, it sounds like there's probably a million people. Maybe a little less than that.
Maybe a little less than that. I would say 800K thereabouts.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot of people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people are willing to drive 20, 30 minutes to go somewhere.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Depending. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's more like a suburb, you know, area with lots of little towns. You know,
I live close to Tahoe, Lake Tahoe. So we have a lot of retirees here. We have a lot of, you know, people from California moving down, you know, So we have a lot of the older population here too. So like 55 plus, I would say. So yeah. I think some of this would be good, okay. You know, geared towards that population.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like you kind of just want to do a general wellness practice for the most part, HRT, weight loss, maybe some aesthetics, whatever. So yeah, just a general weight loss or a general wellness practice. Mm-hmm. So what I would determine is, you know, within a 30 to 45 minute drive of your house, mm-hmm. really get on Google Maps and type in, you know, men's health or wellness mm-hmm. clinic or aesthetics, weight loss, you know, those kinds of mm-hmm. things. And really just get on Google Maps and just scroll around your area. That's, you know, like I said, about between a 30, 45 minute drive from where you're at and see where there is a, I guess a wellness practice desert, so to speak, you know, where is there a place where there's not really a whole lot of these services? Okay. Mm-hmm. As long as there's 10,000 people within, 10 to 15 minute drive of that place, there's probably enough patients to justify opening up a practice there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so
I mean, my idea is to do business where I live. I feel like I can do pretty well here.
Okay.
Versus traveling. About 20 minutes, but it's a smaller, I feel like those people will travel here versus me being located there, you know, because I'm more centralized.
Right. Well, you're telling me that there's already a few places in the city that you're at, though. Like if town of 50,000 people, that's, you know, it's a moderate sized town. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two men's health clinics and a couple places doing HRT and weight loss. Like there's, I don't know if it's a good idea to open there versus mm-hmm. somewhere else where there isn't. And if it's only a 20 minute drive somewhere else, like it's mm-hmm. really not all that much skin off your mm-hmm. back to drive there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just food for thought. I personally would rather go somewhere where there isn't competition versus mm-hmm. opening somewhere where there is competition for the mere convenience factor of where I'm at.
Gotcha.
You know? Yeah. You know, so just keep that in mind. Yeah. People might from the city that you're at might drive down to see you. Word of mouth, mm-hmm. and they find out that you know, you do better job or whatever. Right. So keep that in mind. I really would do some real significant market research. When you open up somewhere where there's competition, you're already starting on an uphill slope versus if you can go somewhere where there isn't any, you're the only show in town. I mean, we've had people on this podcast before in towns with 10 or 20,000 people making $100,000 a month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like you can make a lot of money in small town.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind. Yeah. Cause you're going to invest a lot of money in this, you know, and I would like you want to increase your chances for success as much as possible.
So what do you think about doing hybrid though? Like,
For sure.
Depending on, you know, just my local population here.
For sure. That's the best way to do it. Yeah. You know, have a hybrid model. Yeah. I mean, if you're licensed in 10 states, I mean, I think it'd be foolish not to take advantage of that. You know, the thing with a telemedicine practice like that is that it can be difficult to obtain patients if you don't have the money to spend on marketing it. Okay. You have to market it significantly. There's a lot of competition out there in the telemedicine space. All this stuff. Okay. What separates you from those people? You know, it can be difficult. I personally think the hybrid model where you have a location in a physical location somewhere, that you obtain patients in, and then you kind of, you see the patients via telemedicine for follow-ups and that sort of a thing. But like in your state, maybe in another couple other states too, you offer services there as well. Like that's the best model. Cause I'll tell you, you'll probably get most of your patients locally versus telemedicine.
Yeah.
Unless you mm-hmm. market the hell out of it.
Well, and I can certainly market well around here because I know that one of the clinics here is actually the integrative clinic I worked for like 6 or 7 months. And it's very hard to get in to see them because they do an array of like anti-aging medicine. So just to get an appointment, it could be like 2-3 months. And that's where I think I could pick up some of those patients as well. you know, that are, they don't want to wait, you know?
Right. Right.
So, yeah. But,
Yeah.
And okay. Let's see. Yeah. Well, you know, I really wanted to do eventually do integrative health and maybe get certified or in integrative health, but that's going to be a couple of years, I feel like.
Well, you know, integrative health, that's integrating niche services into a more of a standard practice model, right? Like doing HRT and stuff. You're automatically doing integrative health. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you talking about more like functional medicine?
Yes. Yes. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You know, general functional medicine, you know, learning about some general principles of it. It's a lot of it's complicated. You could really go down rabbit holes with functional medicine. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you could take shorter courses like we offer, just get straight to the point, or you can go through these elaborate curriculum. Going through something like that, elaborate curriculums, and spend tens of thousands of dollars on it and whatnot. You know, you could go that route. But you know, at the end of the day.
And it does require very close follow up. And I just feel like, it would be an uphill battle for me, you know, learning and starting something that I'm not familiar with.
Right. I mean, that's something you just do as you get going. You know, as you get going, mm-hmm. you take a class here and there, you take a class, you learn about what you're interested in, and you slowly integrate it into your practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So that would be the best way to do it. The longer you wait to start this business, there's just going to be more competition that pops up eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. So when should I lease a space? So if I'm thinking about, I can certainly talk to my current employer and see if I can go part-time, starting, because I have to give them about a couple of months notice. But I'm also, thinking, okay, I can say January, new year, I can say launching around February 1st, trying to find a building, location, et cetera. When would you launch or rent the building? Like, what is the timeline, a smart timeline, so I'm not wasting money?
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't rent a building unless I was planning on opening within a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Paying for a lease and just letting it sit there, it's a waste of money. Sometimes you have to, if you're going to get credential with insurance and that kind of a thing, but if you're going to stick with pretty much cash, then, a month before you open, and then in that month time, you sign up for all the accounts with all the compounding pharmacies, cause you have a location, you decorate it and do whatever you got to do. Right. So I would try to avoid, renting something for a prolonged period of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And same, what about the website? Same thing, right? Within the month of opening.
Within a month. Anything more than that's kind of a waste of time. It can take between 30 to 90 days for Google to find your website. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To start populating it through search, through the search engine and whatnot. It could be argued that having the website up and running about 90 days before you open, mm-hmm. is ideal. And then by the time you open up, it should, be populated on all the search engines and that kind of a thing. That's what I did with my first men's health clinic. And to be honest with you, I think I might've had like two calls in that 3 month period from just people randomly finding me somehow. So, mm-hmm. You could start working on the website now if you wanted to, mm-hmm. Slowly kind of work on it. You could do a lot of it yourself,
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. Cause I created an account with, the WordPress and stuff and have my domain name, all of that. So,
yeah, well, there you go. I would say that you can start working on that, start writing the content for it, start, putting it together, making it, how you want to see, how you want to see it, that matches your vision, matches your brand, putting all the content in it. If you do that yourself, it could take a month to really make it nice, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I would do. You can start working on that now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, as far as, scaling business and all that, should I just try to jump into all of it, or should I really narrow down, whether it's men's, testosterone, whether it's HRT, weight loss, or should I just offer all of these services? Because I know in some of your articles and podcasts, you say to just really zero in on maybe one or two things and not just spread yourself thin.
Right. It depends if the service complements each other or not. Men's and women's HRT, similar things. So you could definitely do those two things at the same time. Weight loss is relatively straightforward. It's really not that complicated of a thing. So like, I feel like if you do those three things, you're not going to overcomplicate your business. When you start adding more, harness your strengths that you have now. The things that now, you can definitely, add that to it. But new things that you have to learn, I would 2 to 3 things. I don't think I would do more than that.
Okay. And then like, if I say I wanted to hire a nurse injector, because I don't want to do it myself, that could be done eventually. Or would you recommend doing it, fairly quickly?
I'd say do it fairly quickly. I mean, harness the power of outsourcing work to other people,
Because, that would be something that, it would depend. Like, for example, I was looking at a building, I would be looking for, 2 or 3 exam rooms versus just 1 or 2, If I want to go ahead and add that in.
Yeah. One or two exam rooms probably would work. The thing about these niche services is that you're not going to be seeing patient after patient after patient, 20 patients a day. Like, you don't need to have 2 or 3 exam rooms with patients waiting in it for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to schedule one patient at a time, basically. All right. So it doesn't work like a standard practice does, insurance accepting practice, where appointments take 15 minutes. And there's people, in another room waiting for you. Right.
Yeah.
So, you don't need 3 or 4 exam rooms. You really don't. So if you use a RN injector, she might only be there 1 or 2 days a week. Right. Mm-hmm. And you could schedule those patients on the days that maybe you really don't see a whole lot of patients, Yeah. So you can make that work. Yeah. You would basically be her medical director, and you would do the good faith exam and sign off on stuff for her and that kind of a thing.
Yeah. I've done that before.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've done it before. So that's a strength that you have. You know how to do it. I mean, it'd be foolish not to integrate that
right away. Okay.
Yep.
But that would complicate as far as the LLC then. She would not be the RN would not be an employee, correct? I could do a 1099.
Yeah, I would contract her.
Okay.
Yeah. And, pay her, what's fair. And you make a little bit of a profit too, So, what percentage that is going to be really dependent on their skill level and, what they're used to. Sorry, what was that?
So you do hourly and percentage, is that correct?
No, I would just do straight production.
Production, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay her just sit there waiting for patients to come in. I mean, patients should already be scheduled and she comes in and does the injections, So I'd pay her per patient, You can just give her a straight percentage of collections or pay her per unit of Botox injected or whatever.
And I can find that out in my areas. Would have to call around and see what the going rate is.
Right. Exactly. But you have to make it worth your while, because, you're still liable for it, signing off on it and being the medical director and being the business owner too. So, I mean, it has to be worth your while too.
Yeah. And I understand I have to be in the building when they're doing all of this. So, I did some supervision of RNs prior. Okay. So you recommend doing it right away. Okay. So I'm taking notes.
Harness your strength. You already know how to do it. So just do it. There's really not a whole lot of work on your end to integrate that into it. And if you're offering HRT and weight loss, having aesthetics as another service it's complementary to it. So makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds good. And as far as, as far as my medications, say for weight loss, like semaglutide and all of that, I just get that because I saw some of the pharmacies, you can just buy in bulk and dispense, correct? At the clinic, or you can just send the script in. Is that what you're accustomed to hearing?
So with the compounding pharmacy though, it's the prescriptions typically are either going to be shipped to the patient or shipped to your practice to then dispense to the patient. So it's a patient specific medication. Compounding pharmacies generally do not provide you medication to just dispense to whoever you want. So yeah, the medication is going to be for a specific patient. So if it's shipped to your practice, it has to go to that patient because it's a prescription for that patient. You're just a middleman. You can order in clinic use medication. Like you could order a giant, 30 ml bottle of testosterone, but that's for in clinic use. So compounding pharmacies aren't really meant for medication dispensing. You would have to go through a medical supplier or a pharmaceutical distributor and buy the bottles of that you would see basically like in a pharmacy. So you would buy, a big old giant bottle of 500 tabs of, let's just say phentermine, for example, or, a crate of 5 ml bottles of testosterone or whatever. And then you would dispense those to the patient, following your state's dispensing laws, which in most states, it's really not that complicated of a thing.
Okay. So as far as my name, currently it's like Oasis Wellness Clinic. It's super generic. Like, is that an okay name and then just create a subheading of, my services, et cetera?
Fine. It's fine. I got no problem with that. When you make your Google business listing, I would put, the actual name and then, colon and then the services. That way it's just right straight there. People know exactly what it is that you do.
Makes sense. Okay. I'm trying to think of anything else. I think you've answered all of my questions. So I think I'm just going to switch to part-time at the end of my 2 years in January and then just jump into it. Yeah. Probably get a building around January 1st and then kind of go from there. It's going to be easy on the taxes too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The poll... part-time work and then the part-time practice kind of a thing, you're gonna have to figure out what it is that you're going to do specifically for, the times. So be thinking about the schedule itself. Are you going to be open to see patients Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then you do your job Monday and Tuesday or whatever. Right. So
yeah.
Try to be consistent with those days though. So when you negotiate the part-time hours with the place that you're employed at, try to negotiate a fairly consistent schedule.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if your schedule's changing all the time, then you're having to change your business hours all the time. And it's just, it's confusing to patients. It's very hard to keep track of.
Yeah. What is a general, as far as... it's hard to predict like how well the business is going to do. Of course, I mean, luck is part of it, right? I did look at a building already locally and it's a fairly large, it's about 1300 square feet. And they do, it's the going rates around town. It's like about $1.20 per square foot. And so like the first year they do give a deal of like 70 cents a square foot, but of course the build it's too much for me right now, but I'm looking at smaller buildings and they're a little bit more expensive. Like if they're newer, it's about $2 a square foot, et cetera. So I'm thinking, okay, if I get a larger building, I have to like get it all going right away, get a nurse injector just to fill the space, Right. But what is generally like an okay budget wise, an okay, say $800 a month is reasonable to spend on rent or $900 or, cause I'm looking at $1,100 for the first year and then it goes up to like $1,800-$1,900 the second year.
Is that location really good though?
It's not off of a main road. I worked for a clinic of, a general family practice across the street, just down the road, it was a fairly large practice, like 20 providers and everything, but they're moving within the next couple of years. So I won't have that, that traffic going there.
If you're going to pay on the higher end of what's available in your area, I would only do it if it's on like a main road or something. Okay. Yeah. What's an appropriate budget? Depends. Like, you know, some places $1,500 is a steal. Some places that's a lot of money, right? I think anywhere between the $1,000 a month or something, I think is pretty reasonable for most startups. Okay.
Okay. And that's what I mean. It's like, as a startup, you don't want to chew off more than you can handle too. And
Right. You know, I've talked to some nurse practitioners, you're talking, looking at $5,000, $7,000 a month leases. I'm like, geez, no, not for a 5-year lease. Like, oh God, you are just, that's way too much risk. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
So in my opinion, if you can get on a main road somewhere, okay, with a decent size sign, I'm not talking about one of those little, you know, 1 foot by 6 inch signs that go on a giant sign kind of a thing. You know, I'm talking about an actual sign, that's easily seen, right? You know, $1,500 a month to $2,000 a month for something like that is worthwhile, because it's just going to increase your foot traffic and your visibility. Okay. So, you know, keep that in mind and think to yourself, the extra money that you're spending on that, that's just part of your marketing budget. Because if you can have a really good size sign on a road, that's part of your marketing, right?
Yeah. Makes sense.
So the extra $500 a month is really not that big of a deal, because now you're in a high visibility area and essentially you have a billboard on a main road, right?
Makes sense. Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Like, if I was to open up a new practice tomorrow, I would find a place on a main road with a good sign, and I would not be afraid to spend $2,000 to $2,500 a month for it, because I now know that it will increase your chances of success and it will increase the foot traffic into your practice. Is it necessary though? No, it's not. You can still do very well with something that's a little bit more off, you know, off the road, not much signage, that kind of thing. Because, you know, let's face it, most people are finding businesses nowadays online. Right. So, So it's really not a make it or break it thing, but I think that it will increase the volume of your patients if you can be on a main road.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you have $40,000 to spend here. You know, you have 40 grand to spend. You have money outside of that in your savings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The $40,000 is just the budget for the business.
Yeah.
Right. Essential. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So then you have other money, you know, do you have an emergency fund 6 months?
Well, I have another 30 to 40 in that. Yes. Available.
Yeah. Okay. So you have, I don't know what your monthly expenses are, but I'm sure you could probably make $30,000 or $40,000 last 6 months if you needed to.
Yeah. I have a spouse that works too, and we don't have any debt essentially. So,
okay.
For the mortgage on the house.
Except for the mortgage. Right. So you have a 6 month emergency fund. Okay. You have income coming in from some Airbnbs. You have income coming in from a part-time job. Like, you are in a very secure position here. So I think that you could take a little bit more risk here and spend a little more money on a nicer place on a main road, especially if you have competition.
Okay. What do you think about places within medical buildings? So we do have, you know, and again, like different things, like say an orthopedic and surgery center, whatever. You know, we do have places, I mean, they're a little bit more expensive, but it's like a larger building with medical offices.
For niche-based cash practices, you know, I'm not a huge fan of them personally, unless they are just a really, really good deal and you're on a budget.
Okay. Yeah. That's not the case.
That's really not the case for you. No. You know, if you have a very skimpy budget of $5,000-$10,000 and you can find somewhere in a medical office like that's $500 a month, then sure, it'll work. Mm-hmm. Right. I know a couple of nurse practitioners who scaled to six-figure monthly businesses who started off in, you know, little podunk kind of medical offices like that. So you can do it, you know, but this is the thing. If you have competition, someone goes to Google, types in women's HRT or weight loss, semaglutide, tirzepatide, whatever it is, okay, they're searching for. If there's competition, if there's multiple places doing this, then the search is going to populate multiple clinics, okay? Mm-hmm. And so if you're in a small office like that, you're going to have a lot of other people coming up on searches. If you're the only show in town, you could do this out of a trailer and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And honestly, like as far as like semaglutide and weight loss, we only have one other place here in town and they're not super big.
So then you would be a fool not to be offering that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I really want to get into, you know, just really market myself well, even, you know, among locals. As far as marketing, where do you start?
For something like this with a $40,000 budget, you know, you're probably going to spend $10,000, you know, getting the bare bones of this thing started. Okay. So, you know, first month lease, security deposit, doing a little work on the place, you know, as long as you don't have to do a whole build out on somewhere, speaking of which, try to avoid doing build outs on somewhere that you're leasing. Okay. You want to try to find something that's ready to go pretty much, or maybe a couple walls or something. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't spend a whole lot of money renovating in an office. It's not even yours. I mean, you're in real estate. That makes sense, right? So, you know, you're probably looking at about $10,000 to get started. Another $5,000 for just miscellaneous stuff. So, you know, that's going to leave you a budget of probably, let's just call it $20,000 for operating expenses for a few months, marketing, that kind of a thing. All right. So, you know, where's your biggest bang for your buck there? If you are local and you're on a main road, then people are just going to just drive by and they'll walk in. Okay. Making sure your website is optimized fully, making sure every single little SEO technical optimization is done. That'll cost you a couple $1,000s, well worth the money. Okay. That way you want to make sure that you're popping up on searches, right?
And that's something you would hire out, right?
You just hire a web designer. Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. So like you could use, I use a commercial webmaster. He's the guy that I use. His name is Will. He does SEO. He does website development, that kind of a thing too. Like you could hire him to do that for you. He's on the Elite MP website, just FYI. He's like super solid. Like I still use him to this day to manage the Elite MP website itself. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's super solid. So you use someone like that, or you could hire someone, whatever. So you just hire someone, you know, a few $1,000s to do some search engine optimization on your site to make sure everything is tuned up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's money well spent. But in terms of other money spent locally, personally, what I would do is I would focus on the first month or two. I would focus on just getting some patients through the door using some connections that you have. Mm-hmm. Okay. And having them post reviews on your Google business listing and see what just happens over a month or two, just organically. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're on a main road, people driving by, people searching for you on Google, just give it a month or two and kind of just see what happens, you know.
Okay.
It might pick up on its own very quickly. You might not spend all that much money at all marketing. Okay.
Okay.
Spending some money on some marketing, I think Google search ads work great, especially if there's competition in your area. So if someone types in men's health in your area on Google and you have a Google search ad for men's health, then you'll pop up as the very first listing.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's money well spent, I think. And it's really, it's not that much money, $500 or $1,000 a month. Okay. You don't have to spend all that much money on it. All right. Putting a couple billboards around town sometimes will work for the first couple months, 2 to 3 months of, you know, operating it, just getting the word out, that letting people know that you exist. Gotcha. Right. Yeah. Facebook ads and Instagram ads and social media ads in general. You could try to do it if you wanted to. You could try to advertise it on there if you want, but I would personally try to avoid that at first, just see kind of what happens organically.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think if you're on a main road and, you know, there's some need in your area, I got a feeling you'll probably do okay if you're patient for a couple months. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Any other questions?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is all good info. I think I can relax for another maybe a couple of months, just work on my website, get everything ready, teed up, and then really look for something this fall as far as building wise. Because this location here, it's available now. I was talking to the agent, and she said that, you know, they probably want to lease it out by October, which is not going to work for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Listen, real estate deals come and go, you know.
Yeah.
Once one falls off, there's another one right around the corner, right? So,
yeah,
you know, as long as you're patient with it, I would just, wait for the good spot.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. So any other questions?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I like to end the episode with you asking me a question. So do you have any questions for me? You know, personal question, any curiosities, anything like that?
I'm trying to think. How long did it take for you to get your first business off the ground?
So the very, very first business started with an opioid addiction clinic. Mm-hmm. And I would say it took me about a month and a half to get it off the ground. And I made so many mistakes. I look back and cringe. I had no clue what the hell I was doing. I read like a book and listened to like a podcast or something. Like I had no clue what the hell I was doing. I just kind of just jumped in it and just kind of did it. So yeah, probably about a month and a half, you know, looking back on it, I probably should have a little bit more time, but you know, sometimes you just got to jump into it and get started and kind of just learn as you go, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's about a month and a half.
Okay. What is the time commitment that I should, so right now, what kind of business do you have the men's clinic still?
Yeah. So two men's health clinics. Yeah. Two men's health clinics. I am still doing a little medical cannabis. I'm not doing as much of it anymore. Just cause I have just, you know, I have a 9-month old kid now and, and I just got a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah. So two men's health clinics, some property management stuff. And I got some rentals and some Airbnbs. And then Elite NP, obviously. And yeah, and do some investing and stuff too.
Gotcha. So among all of the stuff that you have going on, how many hours do you dedicate for working? Like what are your personal rules? Like, okay, I'm home by 5 and et cetera. Like how do you balance it all and how much time do you dedicate?
So, when I was hustle, Justin, when I was like really hustling, really in the grind, it never shut off. Okay. Now that I have a child and I'm married and I've gotten a little bit older, once about 5 o'clock comes around, I try to stop. Like, you know, I'm kind of done. And honestly, a lot of days it's like 3 o'clock. Like 3 o'clock, I'm done. You know, I don't want to see any more patients. I don't want to work on anything else. Like 3 o'clock, I'm done today, you know? So yeah, I try to be pretty hard on a cutoff with that, unless there's some sort of fire that needs to be extinguished. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hour wise, when it was hustle, Justin, when I was in the grind, when I was starting everything and working, geez, I mean, I was working, 30 hours a week at an urgent care. I'd pick up shifts in the ER. I'd pick up shifts at a methadone clinic sometimes. I was doing medical cannabis 1 or 2 days a week, doing my men's health clinic 1 day a week. I was writing for Elite NP. That was 60, 70 hours a week, probably, maybe more some weeks, So yeah, now 20 hours, but it took 4 or 5 years to get here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I turned 40 this year. So I'm like, I don't want to work to live. I want to work to live, to be able to live. I want to work less,
Right.
I'm in a point in my life where I'm like, okay, I want those vacations. I don't want to be stuck. And I understand like the first year, like this coming year, I just have to put everything in the back burner and just really focus on getting this off the ground if I want to be successful. But generally I like to take like 3-4 vacations a year, just because life is too short.
It is. Listen, we're the exact same age. I'm 39 years old too. So, we were 1984 babies, right?
Yep.
Yeah. 1984 babies. I'm the exact same age as you. I'm still a pretty high energy person. I'm still pretty motivated and whatnot, but I find as, each year kind of ticks off that it does go down a little bit. So I feel like that you are at, one of those perfect ages. Between your 30s, I think, are when you should really start the business if you can. 40s aren't too late. 40s aren't too late. I mean, you could still start a business in your 40s. But once you start getting in your mid to late 40s or even 50s, I could see how time and energy could become an issue. you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to do it now. You got to get started. You
gotta get going. I have a lot of, I don't want to say hesitancy because I'm a pretty, I like to take risks, but at the same time, it is a scary thing, you know, just to say, okay, I'm done with my job and here, it all depends on me,
So. Yeah. But listen, a year, 2 years from now, you're gonna look back and be like, what the hell was I really scared of? There's none to be scared of, you got savings, you have a spouse who makes money, you you don't have very much debt. Like, what are you really risking here? Not really a whole lot. True. If you lost the whole $40,000, would that suck? Of course it would. That's a lot of money, I mean, it would be awful, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. You're not declaring bankruptcy and having to sell assets just to live life.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So it's not the end of the world. It would suck, but it's not the end of the world. But that's not going to happen. So don't worry about it.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement.
All right. You're welcome. If you ever want to do a follow-up, 6 to 12 months from now, kind of keep us updated on where you're at, I'd love to.
We'll do. All right. Awesome. Justin, appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Take care. Right. Bye. I hope everyone enjoyed the conversation with Ella. Just a lot of just bulleted startup advice right there. Like, I really enjoyed doing that episode with her. Starting a practice, starting a business it's just a set of steps. It doesn't really change depending on where you're at, what you want to do. Like, it's generally the same steps. Some states will throw a wrench in, into it, might complicate it here or there. Some states it's a little bit easier, but overall it's the exact same steps and the same considerations, okay? Your situation isn't necessarily special. I hate to say that, we're taught in school that everyone's special, whatever, but in reality, your situation's really not that special, okay? It's a set of steps. You follow through and you do it, okay? You use a model like I present you guys. Follow the model and get it done and get your practice up and running, okay? Ella has some savings. She has an emergency fund. She has additional income streams through some rental property. She has a part-time job. Like, she's doing everything right, all right? By having that part-time job, by having a couple other income streams, by having some savings, by living below your means, by basically following the elite NP model, right? She's going to succeed. It's pretty hard not to. So go to the Elite NP website, check out the Elite NP model if you have no idea what I'm talking about, okay? If you already own a practice, you know that everything we talked about is true. It's straightforward. Just get it done. All right. Hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Quick legal disclaimer. The content of this podcast is meant for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as legal, financial, medical, regulatory, or practice-specific advice. For information pertaining to your specific legal, financial, medical, or practice-specific needs, please be sure to consult with your lawyer, CPA, medical director, and/or your state's practice laws and the most up-to-date clinical guidelines. As always, do your due diligence when it comes to any information found online and in podcasts. The content in this podcast is copyrighted by Galaxy Medical Southwest 2023 and cannot be duplicated, rebroadcasted, or reproduced without our written permission.